Welcome in to Sports Talk Chicago.
All gas, no break.
If you're looking for the same old sports talk,
get out.
You've come to the wrong place.
Hey, we ain't come this far just to come this far, you hear me?
I tell you what I see, I tell you the truth.
We going hard today.
We're fearless, bold, and highly opinionated.
This show is so hot right now.
The biggest guests, the hottest takes, and the best interviews live right here.
Do you actually remind me of Dan Patrick? Because you ask great questions, you have the knack, you have the gift.
On Sports Talk Chicago.
Yo, Chicago.
Here's your host.
The guy's an absolute stud.
John Zagul.
Hi, everybody. Welcome into Sports Talk Chicago. Great to be back. Great to see all of you here on a beautiful evening in Chicagoland. So much to discuss, so much to get to. We got Bears, we got Cubs, White Sox. So many things are going on. The NFL draft is coming up. The Cubs have started off really hot, and the White Sox have not done anything. We're going to discuss all of it here tonight. My name is John Zagluel. John Meadows is directing and producing. We are live on all of our great radio and TV affiliates throughout Illinois and Indiana. WROK 101.1, Peoria Sports Radio 98.3, The Life, WKAN 105.5, The Ticket, ACTV, JetTV, WJOB, and Cities 92.9 Talk FM. If you want to be a part of the conversation, many ways for you to do so. You can follow us on social media at Sports Talk Chicago. You can also subscribe on YouTube. We are getting up and close to 19,000 subscribers, about 100 away as of today, and we're close to 20,000 as well. Every subscription counts, and it matters. You can subscribe there. Just search up Sports Talk Chicago for the first thing that comes up. Hit the like button on all of our videos to make sure you stay informed and support what we're doing. We appreciate all of your help, and man, it's so good to be back. Appreciate everybody bearing with me. Was gone for a week and refreshed, feeling good, and good to be here with all of you, all of our loyal listeners and loyal viewers all over the Midwest region. So, our buddy Joey Christopoulos, who was filling in for me last week, also part of the SDC Network, made some big news. Don't think he expected what ended up occurring after what he said on last week's show. Joey, of course, is very well connected in Big Ten circles, and he was spreading a rumor, if you will, about the whereabouts of Marvin Harrison Jr., what he wants to do, and it turns out that Marvin Harrison wants to play for the Bears, according to Joey. He wants to come to Chicago. Now, will it happen? I don't know. He'd have to drop tonight, or the Bears could trade up on draft day and make a surprise blockbuster move. Find that hard to believe, and I don't know if the Bears would trade up for a wide receiver, but nevertheless, it is possible. So Marvin Harrison Jr. wants to come here. The alternative that has been floated around as well at number 9 for the Bears is Rome Odunze, the wide receiver from Washington, who famously teamed up with Michael Penix Jr. over the past couple of seasons. They worked big things out there in Washington. So we're going to discuss both those wide receivers, and we're going to discuss the hype surrounding both of them. But I want to make this clear, at least to start. What a position the Bears are in today. And I want people to understand this, too. These two wide receivers that we're discussing here, they're both studs. I think they're both going to be solid NFL football players. I think Marvin Harrison Jr. is pretty much a sure thing. And if he stays healthy and does what he's supposed to do, he's going to be just like his dad eventually. You know, he's going to be a Hall of Famer, right? He is a great wide receiver. Stunning. Great talent in college, and I think he's going to turn that over to the pros and do great year one. Remember, though, that even if the Bears grab Odunze at number 9, maybe they don't even draft a wide receiver and wait till later, they already have two great receivers. Can you imagine Marvin Harrison Jr. being the number 3 on this team, or even Rome Odunze being the number 3 here for Caleb Williams, presumptively? That's unbelievable when you think about it. And it's just bringing back some memories and some nostalgia. Because even when I was growing up, and I'm sure for many of you, the older audience, you know this too. They used to say Cleveland was the place for quarterbacks to die. Well, they used to say wide receivers died when they came to the Bears. That was the adage. When quarterbacks went to die, they went to Cleveland. When wide receivers wanted to die, they went to Chicago. I mean, for years, Marty Booker was one of the best wide receivers in Bears history. And now as we sit here today, Ryan Poles, to his credit, has completely revamped this wide receiver room. Just a few years ago, we were talking about Joshua Bellamy still being on this team. Couldn't even catch a football. We're still talking about Valus Jones Jr. being on this team. He's going to be gone eventually, but you get my point. Even up until the past year or so, this was the place where wide receivers came to die. The Bears tried to break up that mantra a little bit with the Brandon Marshall and Martellus Bennett acquisitions in the early 2010s under Mark Trussman. That worked for a little bit. At the end of the day, though, it couldn't help the Bears to fully shake that identity. And now as we sit here today, you've got, for sure, no matter what, DJ Moore and Keenan Allen at your disposal. And if you draft Rome Odunze, or if you somehow get Marvin Harrison Jr., that's going to be your number three. Eventually, they'll be number two and eventually number one. They are number ones on virtually any other team in the NFL, with the exception of a few. But here in Chicago, they're going to be number threes. Think about that for a second. Look at how far this team has come. And that's something positive that we have to acknowledge and respect. I want all of us to remember that even during the season now coming up. Don't want us to get too spoiled in regards to wide receiver talent, because just as early as 2 years ago, it frankly didn't exist. There was nothing. Justin Fields didn't get anything till last year, really, in terms of legitimate, hardcore, A-plus wide receiver talent. Until then, they had nothing. And now Caleb Williams is going to come in and inherit an outstanding situation. If the Bears draft a receiver at 9, they're going to have three number one wide receivers on one team at one time. Talk about a revitalization and just a game-changing situation on offense. That's huge. And the likelihood of that happening is super high. Mel Kiper and Field Yates of ESPN did a mock draft recently. They, of course, thought the Bears would take Caleb Williams at number one. And at number 9, they picked Rome Odunze, both of them. Mel Kiper wrote, quote, "I love this fit with Caleb Williams, though I thought about an offensive lineman or an edge rusher, too. Odunze could be a star. This is how Chicago could set up Williams to succeed as a rookie." Now, note what Kiper said here, an offensive lineman or an edge rusher. Here's the key. All three of those positions are needs, and we all know what the Bears are going to do at number 1. Number 9 is the intriguing pick. Could they trade up for Marvin Harrison? Could they wait till 9, grab Odunze, or are they going to look at an offensive lineman or edge rusher? Here's my opinion. Here's my take. You could get it from me right now on the record. I don't care what they do at 9. All three of those positions are winning situations to me. You take Odunze, you're fine. You take an offensive lineman that you need, you're good. You take an edge rusher to pair up with Montez Sweat, even better. All three of those situations would work for me. I don't even have a preference. All three of those positions are specific needs that this team has. And when you have a pick at number 9 and you already got your quarterback, that's what you have to do in that spot. No doubt about it. That's what you should be targeting. You target those three positions, and you make a pick that has to go with those. Mel Kiper and Field Yates think the same. Here's what they said about Caleb Williams, by the way. Kiper said, quote, "I don't think we need to spend much time debating the direction the Bears will go in here. Obviously, Justin Fields is gone, and Caleb Williams is the clear best quarterback in this class. With Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, and Cole Kmet as his top three targets, he's going to have a chance to hit the ground running in a way that Bryce Young just couldn't in Carolina last year." They also said, quote, "Williams is a supreme talent with top-tier arm strength, accuracy, and improvisational skills inside and outside the pocket." So, you heard it there. You know, whether you like it or not, whether anybody likes it or not, it's going to be the Caleb Williams show here in Chicago, and he's going to get truly a fair shot to make something happen. You know, we can't say in 3 years, oh yeah, the Bears screwed him. You could make the argument for Fields, you can make the argument for quarterbacks in the past, you can't make it here with Caleb Williams. They are doing everything they possibly can to make it right. Because there's incentive in this. There's a lot of incentive in this. This is going to be Ryan Poles' first and potentially only quarterback. Potentially. Matt Eberflus, in my opinion, if things don't go well, is on the hot seat. And Kevin Warren made the decision at the top level to trust Ryan Poles and Eberflus to stick around after last year. There's an incentive building wide, Hallis Hall wide, to win now. With that incentive in place, it allows the Bears to actually give a damn about playing football, which is great, because it seemed like in the past it wasn't really the case. Even last year, you could tell there were times in which it just didn't look good. It didn't look sincere. It certainly didn't look sincere, and you knew the Bears were tanking in Poles and Eberflus' first year. We're finally at a point where winning is going to be prioritized. We're finally at a point where the Bears are actually looking to win football games. Just to give you an idea, too, of Rome Odunze, everybody hears about Marvin Harrison Jr., and rightfully so, and I hope the Bears get him. Don't have any idea if they will, but if they trade up, maybe, they'll get him. I don't think he's going to fall to number 9, but if they trade up, there's that opportunity. But let's say they don't. Let's say it's going to be Rome Odunze. Okay, well, who are the Bears going to be getting? Well, they're going to be getting a stud wide receiver. Odunze last year with Michael Penix Jr., put up 1,640 in terms of yards, 1,640 yards at the collegiate level in 15 games, 17.8 yards per reception, 92 catches overall. The year before, in his sophomore year, 12 games, 75 catches, 1,145 yards, back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons in college. This past year, he was a monster and almost had 1,700 all-purpose yards. This is awesome. And this would be a huge addition for the Bears as well. Let's not sell somebody short here. Of course, Marvin Harrison Jr. has the hype. He went to Ohio State. His dad is who he was, right? Marvin Harrison Jr. has the hype. But Rome Odunze is not a dumb selection at number 9. And if the Bears get him, I'll be celebrating just as much as I would be if they drafted Marvin Harrison Jr., if they traded up to get Harrison, or if Harrison fell, or whatever the case may be. Either way, I'm going to be celebrating on draft night. We're going to be live, by the way, on Sports Talk Chicago's YouTube page on draft night, first round, to obviously react to Caleb Williams and whoever the Bears pick at 9, or if they move up or trade back. I don't know what they're going to do, but whatever they do, we'll be ready. Because there have been other reports that have suggested that maybe the Bears will trade back. Jordan Reed of ESPN, so it's funny how ESPN people are contradicting themselves. What a surprise. He said that the Bears may trade back from 9. An NFC area scout said, I'd be shocked if they make any picks at 9. Because Poles loves to move around in the draft and build through the draft. So we don't know what's going to happen. Ryan Poles has a number of different options. He could trade up to get Marvin Harrison. He could stay at 9 and hope that Rome Odunze is there. He could draft a offensive lineman or a defensive edge rusher at 9, or he could even trade back and still address one of those key positions and accumulate another pick, because right now the Bears only have 4 picks in this draft, which is interesting. They only have 4. They have the number 1 pick and number 9, then number 75 in the third round and number 122 in round 4. As we know, Ryan Poles loves to turn a couple of picks into 7 or 8. He's done that the past 2 years. I think he'll do it again here, at least in rounds 3 and 4. That's a given. But the interesting part's going to be, what do they do at 9? That's been the intrigue. That's been the talk for the past couple of weeks. And again, I know our guy Joey said what he said and what he thought. Maybe Marvin Harrison's trying to get down to 9, but will the Bears actually trade up to get Harrison? I don't know about that. Even though Harrison is as talented as he is, as much of a sure thing as he is, there's that stigma still of, why are you trading up for a wide receiver in the first round? I mean, the last time the Bears drafted a receiver this high was Kevin White. So that's something they got to keep in mind, too. Still, I think the Bears cannot go wrong here. And that's the main pitch when it comes to this draft and when it comes to you viewing it, right? They really can't go wrong. Something would have to catastrophically go sideways for the Bears to lose in this draft. They're going to be getting Caleb Williams, and they have the 9 pick. They can move up. They can move down. They could stay at 9 and take a wide receiver, offensive lineman, edge rusher. They can move back and take the same. It doesn't really matter. And if Marvin Harrison does not drop into their lap at nine, don't fret. Rome Odunze is a stud. He'd be a number two on any other team in the National Football League. There's no question about that. And he'd probably even be a one on some teams. Day one. He's going to be a three if the Bears take him at number nine. That's unbelievable. Like I said, to open up this segment, gone are the days, I guess, of saying, oh yeah, Chicago Bears, that's where wide receivers go to die. Not anymore. This is where they come to thrive because they have a general manager and a team that actually cares about offense for once. That's actually putting in a realistic effort to rebuild the offense correctly. So many people over the years have tried their best to do it or have claimed that they've tried their best to do it, but for whatever reason, the Bears are still in that 1900s football mentality of defense and defense and defense. Well, you know what? It's time to change that attitude. And Ryan Poles and Kevin Warren, they are. They are. They have to. If they want to win moving forward, they're going to have to. And they are. Caleb Williams is going to be here. They're going to have three stud wide receivers come game one of the season. Does that sound like the Chicago Bears of yesteryear? Definitely not. They know, they're not stupid, they need to make changes, and they need to be sure that they're offensively ready to go. Defense is important, and they're going to be drafting for defense. They're still going to be looking for defense, and they've made acquisitions on defense. There's no doubt about that, but they understand the importance of 2024 football, and they understand that offense, quarterbacks, wide receivers, running backs, DeAndre Swift, right? All of those things are going to make a big difference and their success rate, and their winning percentage on the field this year. So we'll see what the Bears end up doing, but they have so many different positive options at nine and certainly at one, and you really can't go wrong with either of those two picks. So that's a crazy thing to say about the Bears, but that's where they are right now, so let's enjoy it. Back with more in a second on STC. You don't want to miss this coming up. We got Cubs. They're doing well. They're 10-7 right now as of this taping. The White Sox are off to one of their worst starts in franchise history. I didn't mince my words 2 weeks ago. I'm certainly not going to do so tonight. Stay tuned. We'll be right back in STC.
1, 2, 3.
You're listening to Sports Talk Chicago.
Sports Talk Chicago. Here for John Zaglul. Great to be back here with you. John Zaglul here. John Meadows directing and producing on the air on all of our great radio and TV affiliates across Illinois and Indiana. WROK 101.1 Peoria Sports Radio. 98.3 The Live, WKAN 105.5 The Ticket, ACTV, JTV, WJOB, and Cities 92.9 Talk FM. If you want to be a part of the conversation, you can follow us on social media at Sports Talk Chicago. Subscribe on YouTube as we get close to 19,000 subscribers and counting. Find us at Sports Talk Chicago. Give us a like on all of our videos. And if you missed any part of today's show, don't worry. We podcast everything. You could go back and listen to the whole show in one sitting. You could hear it also by segments. We're in segment two right now. So if you missed segment one, go back or to sportstalkchicago.com or any of your favorite podcasting platforms and listen for free. We cut it all up and put it out there for you. Easy access and good for you to listen to on your own time, on demand, anytime across the world. So we appreciate everybody being here with us tonight. We had a lot of Bears talk in segment one. What will the Bears do at number nine? It's going to be a big question. Another reminder to make sure to stay with us next week, Thursday night, round one of the draft. We're going to be live on our YouTube channel on Sports Talk Chicago. So you can subscribe. You can watch us. We're going to do a live reaction to the Bears draft. What will they do at number one? What will they do at number nine in the first round? We're going to be live on YouTube. So hang out with us. Spend some time with us on your draft night as we give some instant reaction and analysis to what the Bears do, those top two picks. Like I said earlier, I don't think they could go wrong in any which way. So stay with us and let's celebrate together at minimum and also react to what they do and analyze what they do as well. All right, baseball season is in full swing. And the Cubs have done a really good job to start off this year, contrary to the White Sox, which we'll get to later in this show. Oh, man. Cubs have done really well so far. There are a couple of hiccups, a couple of things that we do want to discuss that I think are pressure points But overall, the Cubs are doing great. They just went 5-4 on a West Coast road trip. Very good for early in the season with some liabilities they still need to work on. Right now, their odds, albeit early, are 75% to make the postseason, which makes sense. And they have a couple of guys who we frankly did not expect to do good doing well. A couple of guys who I thought would do well aren't doing well. But overall, this team is already clicking. Ian Happ's breaking out of a slump. Michael Bush has been unbelievable, to say the least. I feel bad for Matt Mervis, in a sense. I know everybody's waiting on Matt Mervis, and last year he turned out to just not really do anything at first base at the major league level. Well, Michael Bush might have taken over his position permanently, I'll tell you that. Michael Bush, at 26 years old, as a rookie, already has 6 home runs in 17 games. He's hitting 304. You know what it reminds me of, Cubs fans? You may know this. Remember Brian LaHare and then Anthony Rizzo? 2012, Brian LaHare got the call up, and the first half of the season, he actually made the All-Star team. He was that good in 2012. Then the second half, he just regressed unbelievably so. By the end of the year, he wasn't even on the team anymore. And then Anthony Rizzo got called up in 2013, and the rest was history. Feels like the same thing to me right here now. Matt Mervis was supposed to be the guy. Matt Mervis has crushed AAA pitching for the majority of his professional career. But at the major league level, he cannot get it done. And now Michael Bush comes around. He has 6 homers in 17 games. If this keeps up, Matt Mervis is going to be an afterthought for the Cubs. And Michael Bush is going to be the guy at first base moving forward. It's well-deserved if he continues at this pace, which I don't see why he wouldn't. I don't see why he wouldn't. Javier Assad's done great in 3 starts. How about Shota Umaga, huh? 0 ERA through 3 starts. Everybody was so mad. The Cubs didn't get Shohei. What are they doing? You know what? They got Shota Umaga, and he's been outstanding so far. They didn't get Yamamoto. What are they doing? They got Umaga, and they're going to be okay. And Umaga's been great. 30-year-old, technically a rookie. 2-0 record already. 0 ERA. 15 1/3 innings pitched. Only 9 hits. 0 runs. 16 strikeouts. He has been outstanding. Lived up to every penny the Cubs have paid him, and they've got him for a while too. I hope it continues, and I don't see why it wouldn't with the way he's pitching. And Javier Assad's been great, which is not a surprise. He was good last year down the stretch, and he's keeping it up right now. He came through big time for the Cubs down the stretch last year. It was almost solely because of him at one point that they were even in the playoff race down the stretch later in the season, thanks to him. Now, I want to start, of course, with all these positives because there are some negatives we've got to kind of talk about. Not too many, but only a couple. I know Joey covered this in his last program, and I got to cover it again because it just gets worse. Kyle Hendricks is just not good anymore, and I don't know why. Well, I kind of know why. I mean, when you only throw 85 miles per hour on your fastball and you're just leaving it over the plate, of course you're going to get rocked. Hendricks has been a shell of himself pretty much ever since, 2018, we'll call it. I mean, he had that great year in 2016, which I remember. Should have won the Cy Young that year, in my opinion. Led the league in ERA, 2.13. But ever since then, it's been an up-and-down struggle. And specifically, from 2021 to 2024, it's been outright atrocious. In 21 and 22, his ERAs have been right around 4.8. And this year, as of this taping, it's 12.71. That's his ERA. 24 earned runs given up in 17 innings pitched. Only 11 strikeouts. 7 home runs given up in 17 innings pitched. That leads the league. 17 innings and 7 home runs given up. At that pace, he's going to give up like 40 this year. Minimum. He's 34 years old. He's older. I don't know what they're going to do with him. See, the problem is, too, it's not like he has electric enough stuff to where you could say, you know what, we'll just put him in the bullpen. Not like the Michael Kopech situation where, wow, he throws 100 miles per hour, he's not a good starter, we'll put him a closer, he'll be good. You can't make Kyle Hendricks a closer, and you can't even make him a setup guy. He throws too slow. So I don't know what the answer to this is going to be long-term for the Cubs. They could maybe make him like a swingman slash long reliever and come in. I could see that. Maybe, you know, Cubs have a starter and they can't last long. You put in Hendricks and he kind of fills the gap from innings, let's say, 4 to 7-ish. I mean, that could be done. But even then, if he's not effective now, what's going to make him effective coming out of the bullpen? It's not like it's a, okay, he can only last one inning type thing. No, he can't last at all. And he throws 85 miles per hour. So I don't know what the solution is going to be for him long term. And as Joey said, I get it. He's a Cubs legend, he is. And he did so many great things in 2016. But he is the last player on this team who was here in 2016. This is my suggestion. People are going to get angry, just like they did when I said this for Wilson Contreras and Rizzo and Bryant, who, by the way, Chris Bryant on the IL again. He cannot stay healthy, and the Rockies are paying him big bucks to do nothing. And then Javier Baez isn't like $1.25. But my point is, at the time I said it, and it was proven right, I'm going to say it again now about Kyle Hendricks. At some point, the current performance of these legends has to outweigh their legendary status. At some point, the Cubs have to say, Kyle, we love you. You're always going to be a welcome member of this Cubs family, but you are not performing, and we've got to get rid of you. We've got to cut the tie. I can't imagine them finding a trade partner. Maybe they could designate him for assignment or something, get rid of him. But this is not going to work anymore. This is not going to work. And they'll give him probably a couple of more starts. It's like the Jake Arrieta thing. Remember when the Cubs signed Jake Arrieta again to that one-year deal a couple of years back? His ERA was like 8. Then they traded him to the Padres. His ERA was like 6. Then he retired. Okay. Arrieta had the wherewithal to understand, okay, I'm not as effective as I was 10 years ago. It's time for me to call it quits. And he had a great career. Nobody's mad at him or nobody thought anything different of him, and now he's doing media. That's great. Kyle Hendricks is teetering in that direction right now if something doesn't change. Because I'll tell you what, a 13 ERA is not going to be sustainable. 7 home runs given up in 17 innings is not going to be sustainable. 24 earned runs in 17 innings is definitely not going to be sustainable. He's 0-2. ERA plus is 35. That's got to be one of the worst marks in baseball right now. Granted, we're only a couple of starts in, but still, that's bad. I don't know what the end result's going to be, but if I were Jed Hoyer and Carter Hawkins and I'm assessing this situation, I would look back to what I did before. Because what people fail to understand or fail to remember is that it was Jed Hoyer who made the quote-unquote tough call, which it was really elementary at that point, to get rid of Baez and Bryant and Rizzo. He did it. Contreras, too. He did it. He made that choice. Schwarber, he made that choice. And you know what? It's worked out. Because the Cubs today are 10-7. The Cubs today are a legitimate playoff-caliber team, and they're moving in the right direction. And if they had kept all of those old players and hung on to their legendary status, they would not be where they are today. I can guarantee you that. So Jed Hoyer has done it before. He puts business over personal relationships time and time again. He just did it this past offseason. Hired Craig Counsell, got rid of David Ross. Grandpa Rossi, gone. So he's done this time and time again since he's been promoted. And I think he's going to have to do it again eventually here with Hendricks if things don't get better. Realistically assess this situation. If he can't succeed as a starter throwing 85 miles per hour, he won't be a closer, and he barely could be a long reliever. How could he do long relief if he can't even start? So this is just a really bad situation for all parties involved. And if I were Hendricks, I would also hopefully have the self-realization that, hey, maybe I don't have that extra oomph on my pitches I did before. He was never a hard thrower, but he had so much movement that made him nasty. And he has to realize that maybe the game has passed me by. Maybe I'm just not as effective as I once was. And that's okay. I respect Kyle Hendricks for everything that he did in the past. He was a great pitcher. But he's not anymore. And the Cubs and Hendricks have to come to a decision here soon on what his future is going to be, because right now, it's not looking good. The same, ironically enough, at least for now, at closer. And I thought, really, that after last season, Advert Azulay was going to be the guy for them to close out games. There was going to be no question. Not anymore. Advert Azulay has blown three saves already. He's given up three home runs in eight innings pitched. That's just as bad as Hendricks. Now, he's still been electric when he hasn't given up and blown those three saves. I mean, his ERA is 3.12. You wouldn't think much of it. But there's a problem here, and that has to be corrected over time. Now, I think they're going to continue to give Azulay opportunities for now because I don't really know who your backup closer would be. You know, it'd be a closer by committee situation until you figured it all out. But I will say this. I'm going to wait to fully declare it, but right now, Azulay is on track to be a bust. You could get mad, all the Cubs fans could get angry, but it's the truth. Azulay was supposed to be a top-tier starter for this team. You all remember it, I do too. They drafted him, they developed him to be a starting pitcher, and he was an abject failure. He couldn't start. The ERA was like 5 in the 1 year that he started full-time. Jed Hoyer had the idea to move him to the bullpen. And it looked like that worked. Seriously, last year, I could not be more happy for Azulay. It looked like he reinvented himself. He made a second career for himself, and he may not be a bust. Because if he turned out to be a good closer for 10 years, I'll take all my words back. But now he's having problems closing games. Now, they could relegate Azulay to put him in low-leverage situations and make him a middle reliever. That's fine if they do. They're not going to cut him. He is talented. He has a really hard fastball, got some good movement. No doubt about that. We're probably going to have to relegate him eventually if things don't get better. Then at that point, it's just going to be another random arm on the shelf, if you will, for this team until he ends up getting traded or ends up getting released. And that's fine if that's the case. But by that point, he'd be a certified bust. I don't know what the issue is with Azulay. I'm not sure why he is just being as ineffective compared to before. But the facts are he's blown three saves already. And that's on him. Not on Craig Counsell. Not on the Cubs. Not on Jed Hoyer. It's on him specifically. He is not performing when the Cubs put him in situations in which they trust him to perform in. Right? He won the closer job fair and square last year as the season went on. And this year was just expected. Yep, he's the closer. Well, now he can't close games. So I don't know what they're going to do with him. I don't know how they're going to approach that situation. But it's certainly a concern. Certainly a concern. So the Cubs have a couple of problems, right? Not everything's perfect, but it's early. 20 games in, right? They have time to figure out what they're going to do and how they're going to look. So I'm not causing any concern. I'm not saying they suck. I'm not going to go after them. That's not what I'm doing here. But I'm just pointing out the obvious. There are two big problems they have right now that need to be corrected by mid-year at least. Hopefully sooner. And I think it will be sooner, at least for the Hendricks situation for sure. If Kyle Hendricks is still putting up a 12 ERA in May, we're going to have an issue. And if Advert Azulay is still blowing saves and has like 7 blown saves in May, we're going to have another issue there too. Those two things need to be corrected if the Cubs want to do something significant this year. Other than that, I got no complaints. They're doing fine. So we'll see how they address those situations. Other than that, though, you know what? Not bad. Way different than the White Sox. Way different than the White Sox, which we'll get to next here on Sports Talk Chicago. Don't go anywhere.
1, 2, 3.
You're listening to Sports Talk Chicago.
Sports Talk Chicago. Ever John Zaglul, great to be back here with you. I'm here. John Meadows is directing and producing. Last segment here of today's program. We appreciate everybody tuning in from all over Illinois and Indiana. WROK 101.1, Peoria Sports Radio 98.3, The Life, WKAN 105.5, The Ticket, ACTV, JTV, WJOB, and Cities 92.9, Talk FM. All of our great affiliates showing up and showing out for us each and every week. We appreciate all of you for listening on the radio, watching on TV, or watching on YouTube. At Sports Talk Chicago, subscribe, like the video. We're getting close to 19,000 subscribers. If you miss any of today's show, if you're just hopping in now, don't worry. You can podcast it. Go to sportstalkchicago.com or go to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, your favorite or preferred podcasting platform. We have full episodes up there every single week, in addition to it cut up by segments. So if you only want to listen to a certain segment, if you missed the first two but caught the last one, you can do that. simple and easy from the palm of your hand or on your computer. We want to make sure we are accessible and easy for you to find all the time. Last segment of today's program, we talk Bears, we talk Cubs. Cubs are looking great. White Sox, not so much. This is really bad. You know, I didn't expect this. I'm going to come out and say this first. And made a video about this a couple of weeks ago, and, you know, it just has not gotten any better. The Sox, as of this taping, are 2-14. I mean, 2-14, not even 8-8 or, I don't know, 7-15, 2-14. They have 2 wins in 16 games. Now, I don't know what's going to happen to Pedro Grifol. I don't know what Jerry Reinsdorf's doing, but I'll tell you what. He's got to go now. And I was a supporter. You're probably wondering, John, what are you talking about? And I'm with you. I like Grifol in terms of attitude, in terms of philosophy, but this is not working. It's not just him. If we're up to me, I'd fire this whole team. It's not just him. But, I mean, as a team, the only guy in their regular lineup hitting anywhere above 250 is Dominic Fletcher and Gavin Sheets in limited time. Moncada was too till he got hurt. And now he's on the 60-day IL, so we're not going to count him. They have 2 guys in their lineup hitting anywhere close to 250. And in fact, Fletcher and Sheets are the only ones in the lineup today hitting above 200. Yeah, hitting above 200 right now. They're the only two. I mean, my goodness, even Luis Robert was hitting 214. He's still on the IL. I mean, this is really bad. The only bright spots that I could even fathom right now are Garrett Crochet. He's never started a game in his life, and he has a 3.57 ERA and 4 starts. That's something to really commend for him and for his personal growth. And how about Michael Kopech adjusting to the closer's role well? 14 Ks, 9 innings, 2 saves, under 2 ERA. That's awesome. And I really hope Kopech finds a way to reinvent himself, maybe similar to Albert Azulay to an extent, right? Highly heralded top pick, should have been a starter, didn't really work out. Now he's closing and doing it very effectively. I've even heard already that he might be a trade piece. We're what, 17 games in and we're talking about trades? But yeah, here we are for the White Sox, and Kopech is certainly up there. So maybe the Sox trade Kopech at the trade deadline and get some sort of a haul for him. And in Kopech's case, he's reinvented himself. So I'm really excited for him, and I'm excited for Crochet. I mean, it is hard to start any game. You know, I pitched in high school and had a college offer. It's hard to start a game in high school. Hard to start a game in college. And for Crochet, he's never started a game till this season. And I'll tell you what, that takes guts. That takes stones. And he's done a really good job in the opportunities that he's had. I have no ill will nor ill words about Garrett Crochet and his ability and his job so far. That's awesome. But other than those two specific figures, there is nothing to root for on this team right now. And Sox fans, you know, I said this last time, I'll say it again. The one way that you could tell everybody how you really feel, just stop going to these games. I mean, who wants to go and sit here and watch this crap? Really? I'll tell you what, again, if it wasn't for the Oakland A's, who, by the way, have a better record than the White Sox right now and are actually winning a couple of games, which with that team, this should be the downright sad story of the league right now. This. They're 2-14. They should not be this bad. These players are sucking. They have nobody hitting above 200, let alone 300. What is going on here? What's going on? They brought in a new hitting coach, Marcus Thames. That's not going too well, I guess. I don't know what Chris Getz is doing. I mean, I don't want to hold him responsible yet. It's his first full year, but this is a horrible ensemble of a team. Even if you're trying to rebuild, this is, like, really bad. And Pedro Grifol is having things spiral out of control. And Jerry Reinsdorf's watching for the owner's box, probably laughing. I don't know what he's doing. But, I mean, this is bad. Okay, this is really, really bad. And Sox fans, it's on you, to an extent, to take pride in your team and understand, okay, if this is the product that I'm going to go watch, why am I even going to a game at all? I mean, do you really want to pay money to go watch, I don't know, Robbie Grossman and Martin Maldonado and, I don't know, Kevin Pillar, who's still around at 35? I mean, this is so bad. This is so bad. And I wish I could say it's going to get better. Really, I do, because I love the White Sox. Not even a Sox fan. I didn't grow up a Sox fan, but I love their fan base. They're passionate. And just 2-3 years ago, this was supposed to be on the up and up. They won 93 games. Tony La Russa was managing. They made it and lost to the Astros in the ALDS. This was a good team. What happened? Well, that core ended up not panning out, and now look where they are today. They got a bunch of nobodies going out there playing baseball. They're 2-14, worst team in baseball. They can't even get a win, let alone a winning streak or be 500. I mean, this is really bad. So if I were you, White Sox fans, I would just stop supporting this trash heap until things get better, just like Oakland fans are doing. Now, theirs is a bit of a different situation. The team's moving, but they're getting only 4,000 people per game at the Coliseum. Well, I don't know about you guys, but I'd stop paying to come to White Sox games. I mean, who wants to pay to watch this? I'd rather go to a good college game. Go to UIC in Chicago. Go watch a good college game, a competitive game. This is horrible. And the real shame is that there are names on here and people that I like. Paul DeJong's story is awesome, but he's not producing. I loved the Andrew Benintendi signing. You can go back, watch my videos from 2-3 years ago. I applauded it. He's not producing. Eloy Jimenez is a bust. Roberts hurt. Moncada's hurt again. You know, there are a lot of people on here who you want to root for. Mike Soroka is trying to come back after multiple injuries. He was at one time pretty good with the Braves, trying to really make a comeback, and he has a 7 ERA. So there are guys on this team that I support in terms of personal stuff. You know, I like some of these stories. I like what they're doing. But in terms of on-the-field performance, all of this together is horrible. There are only two bright spots, like I said, Crochet and Kopech. That's it. Steven Wilson's been good in relief. I mean, you can add that in. But my point is, it's not working. This is not working. So I don't know what they're going to do. Long term, I don't even know what the plan is, right? You know, at least if there was a plan or something, that would be great, but I don't know what the plan is. I mean, are they going to tank like this for 3 years? I don't trust Chris Getz to develop anybody in the farm system. He clearly couldn't develop, Tim Anderson, Eloy Jimenez, right? Yoan Moncada, to an extent. All these guys who came up, were supposed to be good with the White Sox, ended up not panning out, really. That was partially Getz's fault, so I don't really trust him. I think Pedro Grifol is going to be out the door by the end of the year, if not sooner. I mean, I would look, if they go like 2-20, right? What are you going to do? You got to fire Grifol. That's a given. So this is a really bad situation. It is a polar opposite of what the Cubs are doing and how they're feeling on the north side. And I don't know how or when this is going to get better. It's my honest opinion. It's my assessment of this situation. I don't know how or when or what it's even going to take for this to get better. Seriously. I mean, it would take a roster overhaul. It would take actually spending legitimate money. Here's the worst part, too. The Sox actually have $120-plus billion payroll. My question is, who are they paying and for what purpose? You know, I used to defend Jerry Reinsdorf, and I did for a little bit because the Sox payroll did boost as high as, I believe, 175 was the highest payroll in team history, and they won 93 games, and even the year they went 500, the year after that, they had a high payroll. So, you know, I didn't even criticize ownership or general managers or the front office because they were actively spending money. Now I look back and realize they were spending money in the wrong places. And even now, you're paying $129 million for a minor league baseball team. You know, if you're really going to go all out, then pull an Oakland A's or pull a Miami Marlins situation and slash payroll to like $60 million. You're paying $129 million for AAA baseball. When you got other teams who are paying the same, who are paying half of that for AAA baseball. At least if you want to save money and then have it in your back pocket and reinvest it when the time is right, that's what I would do. But to pay $129 million for this team is a ripoff. And I hope Jerry Reinsdorf is not happy about that, because You're spending all this money on this product. You're spending money on Andrew Vaughn hitting .172. I mean, well, he was supposed to come out 5 years ago. He was supposed to be great 5 years ago. What's happened now? Nicky Lopez, 29 years old, hitting .132. Robbie Grossman, he's 34. Can't believe he even still has a job, and he's hitting .194. Something's got to give here. I continue to root for Crochet and Kopech, and they may even both be trade pieces by the time July comes around, maybe even before then. But this team is as minor league as it gets. It's as AAA as it gets. It's as developmental as it gets. And when you have a dedicated fan base in America's number three market, you cannot be a AAA baseball team. You want to go do that in Oakland because you're notoriously cheap and you don't care? That's fine, right? They're going to move to Vegas and maybe they'll start spending money there. I don't know. But you can't be doing that in Chicago. Not when you have a legitimate, dedicated, diehard fan base who actually cares about the team and the organization and the product on the field. As ownership and as front office personnel, you got to care too. I would understand, and I get tanking. I get sucking. I get, okay, I want to get better picks, but 2-14 ain't it. Having Chris Getz, who used to be your farmhand developmental specialist, now your GM, ain't going to cut it either. It's not. I know Sox fans know this too, right? This isn't any breaking news, right? I mean, you know this. This is not a new thought or an outside-the-box idea. We've been saying this since Getz was named the official GM in October last year, September, whatever it was. Right? We've all been saying that. And now here we are today, and it just continues to get worse. And it sucks. I'm not even a White Sox fan, and it sucks. I feel for you because I know the passion that you guys have. I know the care that you guys have. This is a historic franchise, just like the Cubs. I mean, your announcers are great. You know, you got Len Casper on the radio. Can't get any better than that. John Triffin, I know he's new in the booth. He's actually sounded good. I mean, I like him. I like the game day presentation. The Sox have a great game day presentation. They certainly have people up there in the booths who care. But in terms of on-the-field product, they don't. Now they're trying to move to whatever, the 76 in the city. Okay, good luck. Good luck. I don't support it. You know why I don't support it? Because your team on the field needs work first. Before you talk about glamorous and new and nice stadium and taxpayer-funded stadium, why don't you talk about the crappy on-the-field product you're putting out there? How about that? Before we talk about moving and abandoning a neighborhood and a fan base that's been with you for 100-plus years, why don't we talk about your on-the-field product? Oh, sorry. Can't have that conversation. Well, Sox fans, I feel for you. The best thing that you could do in this situation, as I've stated multiple times, is just get the heck out. Just stop supporting it for now. And when they become good again, or when they actually make legitimate changes and actually are on a path to success, come on back. That's not being a fair weather fan. That's being a realist and understanding that you shouldn't be wasting your time on a product that doesn't care about you. That's the key. It's not being a fair weather fan. It's not being, oh, I'm going to stick around or only when they're good. No. Clearly, based on how they're playing right now, they don't care about you. So if they don't care about you, then don't watch. And wait until they start caring about you again. Then watch. Then care. Then be invested and be excited. But until that point, there's no need to put yourself through this dumpster fire year in and year out when clearly nobody cares. Nobody cares how you feel. If they cared how you felt, why are they playing like this? And what kind of players are on the field? And how come no one's hitting over 200? Keep all of that in mind the next time you think about going to watch a White Sox game. Hey, you want to go to a cheap game and get a cheap ticket? That's one thing. But if you actually care about this team, I suggest you make them
or you make it known, you know, you make it known how you feel. Tell them how you feel and show them why you don't support this trash heap of a team. Appreciate everybody hanging out here with us today. What a great show. Good to be back. Love to get some baseball talk in there. You know, that's super fun. Cubs and White Sox. We talked Bears as well. Make sure you follow us all over at Sports Talk Chicago. You can podcast it at sportstalkchicago.com. Find us on YouTube at the same name. Subscribe and like. John Meadows directed and produced everything you saw here today. I'm John Zaglul. Looking forward to seeing you again next week. Just remember this. We're going to be on the radio next weekend, but next week on Thursday, next Thursday, mark your calendars, we're going to be live for the NFL draft on YouTube only. So you can subscribe on YouTube and watch my reactions. The Bears, hopefully, take Caleb Williams and somebody else at number 9. Until next time, thank you for listening and watching. So long.